had to, you know, it was really nice to see some water put over there this morning. You know, some churches forget, but I was telling the lady who very kindly put the water there that I was taught that it depends on how much water they put there, how long they expect the sermon. And she said, oh, I'll put a small bottle. Yes, but thanks for that. It's always good to be that. It's good to come and share this morning. For 30-odd years, I worked in the National Health Service in admin and met a number of people, including like Reg Stone. Well, remember him as chairman of League of Friends at the Western Hospital. He'd come and tell me what to do. No, we worked well together. But in those days, when you wanted to employ a new member of staff, you had to write a job description. You had job descriptions? Yeah, it's the sort of thing you read when you start the job and then put it away and get on with it. I remember one job description I had. Job descriptions usually ended with such other duties as may be required. This one actually said to do absolutely anything for the smooth running of the hospital. As they'd got a large vegetable garden, I thought, I was glad I didn't get that job. But you had to write a job description, the job that you wanted the person to do. Now, you also have to write a person specification. Hands up, who's seen those? Person specification. What's the sort of person you're looking for this job? What qualities have they got? What qualifications have they got? What abilities have they got? Or do you need for this job? And how do they measure up against that? I remember many years ago at Swathing, when we were looking for a new minister, we had a day conference and working out all the things that we wanted a new minister to do. We got people out in groups and they came back and reported, and I had to write it on a flip chart. And it was getting longer and longer and longer, the qualities we wanted. I had to say at the end to the congregation, the only person I know who met all these qualities was crucified. Yeah, let's be realistic, we're not going to find that human being. So job descriptions, person specification, telling us about the jobs that we want done. And our story today, the pictures, I hope you like the pictures early on, and the little bit that Margaret read for us, tells us of the calling of Moses. Moses' job was to deliver the enslaved, hurting people of the Hebrews. Remember, they'd gone down to get away from a famine. Numbers had grown and grown over the years, and the Pharaoh became more and more oppressive, enslaving them. And Moses, at this point, has fled to Jethro, looking after the sheep, and he sees the burning bush. Now, we're not going to go into the whole story this morning. That's why we told it. But Moses is called to deliver his friends, the Hebrew people, who were hurting, who were enslaved. He was God's choice for that moment. He was God's choice for that moment. And I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that all of us, as Christians, comes a time when it's our hour, the hour that we're being called to do something. We think about what qualities might be needed. And here is Moses, and we're going to look at some of the problems that he highlights this morning. And think about what kind of person was Moses. And I say right now, I think if we'd drawn up a job description, a person specification, we would not have chosen Moses. But God chose Moses. For this time, God used Moses to free his people, to bless his people, to lead them. My friends, God can use you and me. And don't we need millions of people like Moses today to stand up, to be counted, knowing that God is with them? So, can we have the... Do I push this? Or no, we've got it. We're going to think about the person God chooses and uses, looking at that passage. Number one. Firstly, just thinking about his qualities for a moment. In speaking, he was weak. This is what Margaret read to us from Exodus 4, verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. And I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." If you prefer the King James, the Authorized Version, Moses says, "Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech." Yeah. I've not got the right qualities that you need. And if you read through the story of Moses, he seems unlikely to be the sort of person that would be chosen. Let's just think, he has first to convince the people of Israel of his calling. He's got to go and persuade those Hebrew people that he's the one who's going to lead them out of Egypt on God's behalf. And they're going to say, "But he lived in the palace, and didn't he? In their rumours, he killed somebody. And then he ran away. He didn't speak very well." He has to convince them. Then he has to go and confront Pharaoh. Go and confront Pharaoh with his claims and tell him, "Let my people go." Wonder what Pharaoh would think. Pharaoh, who was treated by his own people, seen as a god, the emperor, the king, the god. And there's this Hebrew runaway coming, stuttering and saying, "Let my people go." But God had chosen Moses for this job, and God would help him. My friends, God has often empowered the most unlikely people, those who aren't eloquent, those when we get tongue-tied. And he says, "You're the one to go and tell them." Jonathan Edwards, not the previous General Secretary of the Baptist Union, but the great preacher of the 1700s in the United States, he always read his sermons, so I don't feel too badly reading parts of mine, but he read them because he needed to read them. And yet his preaching was part of the great revival in the United States that started in 1733. God often empowered those who weren't eloquent. He said, "This is the job I've got for you to do." Reminds me of the old song, "There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned." Make you cringe, doesn't it? Just when you plan. And we need to also remember that quite often God chose the weak. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes," complimentary, isn't it? "Or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, no one can boast in the presence of God." God chose those in the world's eyes who weren't powerful, who weren't wise, eloquent. Isn't that encouraging? I find that encouraging because he's chosen us as well. I have to say to you, when the Lord called us into ministry, and then said, the area superintendent, senior regional minister said, "Oh, I want to suggest your name to North Battersley." And I went, "Oh, you're joking." Don't tell him I said that, will you? But it became clear to us that's where the Lord wanted us to be. And we've had a good time there. The Lord calls us. Moses was, in speaking, he was weak. Secondly, in his manner, he was meek. Yep, got it. So I panic when it goes blank. So I can see the notes there. In his manner, he was meek. Not a word we use much these days, but just think of verse 13. I love this one. But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send someone else. Send someone else." How often we sit in a sermon, you hear a call and think, "I hope he's listening to this over there. Or she's listening to it over there. Lord, send someone else." Moses didn't feel qualified for this job. He wanted to defer to someone else. "Lord, send anyone else but me." We're told in Scripture, in the book of Numbers, that Moses was the meekest of all men. This is what it says in Numbers 12, verse 3. Moses was very humble, more humble than any person on the earth. If you prefer the King James Version, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." He was humble. He was meek. The meekest, the humblest, on the whole earth. Definition of meek can be given as patient, a gentle disposition. Meekness, my friends, is the opposite of being prideful, full of pride. You know, I can do this. Look at what I've done. He was meek. Do you remember Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." So that in Matthew 11, verse 29. Or, "I am humble and gentle in heart." Someone who's patient, the gentle disposition. Remember also that in Matthew 5, verse 5, we're told that the meek shall inherit the earth. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Moses, in his speaking, he was weak. "Get tongue-tied. I can't do it." In his manner, he was meek. And thirdly, he wasn't one that the world would seek. Well, I'm going to get the weak, meek, seek to fit in. He wasn't the one that the world would seek. Not the person who met the job spec. The person spec, the job description. He's the sort of person that would say, "You can't, you've got to be joking." Not him, surely. Remember this, Exodus 4, verses 16 and 17. "Aaron will be your spokesman," says God to the people. "He'll be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you, and use it to perform miraculous signs I have shown you." Moses seemed unqualified to be this person. Not the sort to take charge. Not the sort of take charge kind, if you like. Not the leader that we might expect to go and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and then lead them out. But, and I think this is something important for us to remember today, God would have to compensate, if you like, for Moses' inadequacies. What he said there, "Aaron will be your mouthpiece. I'll give you somebody else who can speak. Someone else to be with you, walk alongside you. And he said, take your shepherd's staff with you. Remember those miraculous signs? I'm giving you what you need to be able to do this job that I've called you to do. My friends, my experience, and I think perhaps the experience of others, is that when God calls you to do a job, he's there with you and enables you to do that task. God, you see, uses those he chooses. There are times when we say, God knows why he chose that one. But he did. He chose us, calls us to do these tasks, and he enables us to do them. He gave Moses the tools, if you'll pardon me calling Aaron a tool, to use. Let's remember, this happens throughout Scripture. In the New Testament, for example, Peter and John, they were thought to be ignorant, unlearned, but they were called. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The members of the council, the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, were amazed, we read, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And I like this bit. For they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scripture. And they also recognised them as men who'd been with Jesus. Isn't that great? There they were, not learned in the Scriptures, but they were there, empowered by God, recognised as being those who'd been with Jesus. I pray that when we go out from here this morning and during the coming week, people will recognise us as having been with Jesus. Another great preacher, Dwight L. Moody. He lacked an education. His father had died at the age of 41 when Dwight was only 4 years old, leaving his mother to bring up 9 children. Nine? We get worn out with 2 grandchildren, but 9 kids. So the children had to go out to work if they were to eat. They had little education. Dwight Moody had very little education, and yet his preaching drew many to the Lord. And Moses had failed before. If you read the story, he'll fail again. But God is with him and enables him to do the task that God wants him to do. We'll just finish the chart here. Why are we telling this story? Why are we thinking about this story? It is because God can use you and me. Despite our inadequacies, despite our saying, Lord, find somebody else. He's got a task for us to do. We can serve God as we are. He will be with us. He will enable us. He'll give us our staff to carry with us. And we, weak, meek ones, can reach out to a hurting people for Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, to reach out to others. I found this from F.B. Meyer, who once explained it this way. I wish I'd been able to put it on the chart, but I couldn't get it to work right. If anybody wants to see it on my sheet of paper, they can afterwards. This is what Meyer wrote. I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other, God's gifts. And the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. But now I find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. The lower we stoop, the more we get. You got that? Let's read it through one more time. I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another. The taller we grow, the easier we can reach them, those gifts that God's there. But now I find God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. I've written across the bottom here, how low are you? We may think we're weak, we're meek, and find all sorts of excuses, as Moses tried to do. But God can use you and me, and will if only we will let him. Amen.